But there's another side of the coin, and I also see from this the Silsi Sharm, and I think it's also equally important. We're right now, all of us over here are part of this section of Klal Yisrael that's called people who go to yeshiva. And if you think about it, we're really the elite of the world. The elite of the world, we're the special forces, Hashem's special forces. The percentage of, just to follow through, we've gone through this a couple of times, the percentage of Jews in the world connects to Goyim is very, very small. It's a very small percentage of Jews. Of Jews is a very, very, very small percentage that are observant. Of observant Jews is a very, very small percentage that have any Shaychas to Talmud Torah at all. And of people who have any Shaychas to Talmud Torah at all, there's an even smaller percentage that sit and learn in the walls of the Beis Medrash. So let's just to be makir, the person has to be makir as makaymai. Let's try to be makir our makir. If you look at that, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking down at the world, so where do we stand in the world? As a tzibur, all of us together, I'm not being down, everyone is ups and downs, and that's not my point. My point is, where do we stand in the world? On the rungs of the ladder. We're the elite of the world. Not only we're not goyim, not only we're yidden, but we're from yidden. Not only we're from yidden that learn Torah. Not only we're from yidden that learn Torah, we're from yidden that have devoted a precious part of our life to learning Torah. We're the elite of the world. That means when Hashem is looking at us, Hashem is looking at that special love and that special care and that special demand, the way a general looks at, he has his huge army, but then he has his special forces that he depends on, the really talented ones. That's where we stand. So as much as we have to realize when the Mesillas Yesharim says that the Sridim Asher Ba'am, that are Hasidim, they're on a high Madrega, it's talking about something that's much higher than us. It's talking about the Gedolei Yisrael. It's talking about Rear Talmid HaChachamim who are able to separate themselves from Olam HaZeh. And we've already discussed many times how precious it is Nageya to us. But there's something here for us in this Mesillas Yesharim. We have to realize that we're also, in a certain sense, we're also Sridim Asher Ba'am. We're also a small percentage of Klal Yisrael, a small percentage of the world. We're from a very, very special, we're elites. We're from the elite of the world. We're from the highest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts on us. Amol, it used to be that someone who went to yeshiva in Europe and even in America, and certainly, you know, the Russian yeshivas used to work, I know in Chaim Berlin it was a tremendous thing, and Tara Vadasa was a tremendous thing, and I understand that other yeshivas also, when the yeshivas went to Siasid and then going back to Slobodka and Kletsk and Mir, there used to be such a pride in being affiliated and associated with the yeshiva. There was such a pride. Bachram and yeshiva, Pasha, there was this tremendous pride. They felt like royalty. They held themselves a certain way. I'm a Ben Tam yeshiva Bachar. Tremendous gaiva de kedusha, tremendous positive and motivating gaiva. I'm not just anybody. I'm a Ben Tayra. I'm a yeshiva Bachar. I'm from the Sridim Asher Ba'am. I'm from the people. The whole Klal Yisrael rests on my shoulders, like he says here. The rest of the Am is Nislebanu. The rest of Klal Yisrael, there are parts of Klal Yisrael that don't know about Shabbos. There are those that do know about Shabbos, but they don't know about Kisavoy Bekeren Reyecha. They don't know about Shnayim Oichs and Metalis. They don't know about the nitty gritty. They don't know about the depths of Hashem's Torah, the Svara of the Torah, the Mahalach of the Torah. How Halacha works, how Sugyas work, how Hashkafa works, how Musa works. People are foreign to all this. And we're in the inn. We have it to whatever extent we have it, and we have the ability to continue to steig in it. It's important for us to carry ourselves a certain way and demand of ourselves a certain type of behavior. We're part of a very special club. We're affiliated with a very, very special club, and the whole Klal Yisrael depends on us. We have to walk outside, we have to walk in the streets with a very straight back. To be very, very proud of who we are. When someone high in the government, or someone, now we're, tonight's a very hacked political night, the night before the election, you know, maybe we'll talk about the election tomorrow, let's see. Tonight's, you have the political, the top in a political party or in a campaign or something, the mamash, the top, they walk officer, you see how they walk. They carry themselves. They know that they're worth something. They know, you know, you've seen rich people. They walk a certain way. They expect everyone to move aside as they walk by. I'm not saying to walk. We already have pages of Maseches Yesharim not to walk that way. But there's a certain pride that should shine out of the eyes and the face and the smile and the confidence of every Ben Torah that we are the Sridim Asher Ba'am, this part of this Maseches Yesharim that's talking to us. We're Bnei Torah. And it's a different take on it. Like, we talk about now, you know, different things, which is not the time to get barichas into all these things, but we talk about, you know, what we should expose ourselves to, and what kind of music we should listen to, and what kind of activities we should do, and what kind of comments we should make, what kind of comments should slip out of our mouth, what kind of words should come out of our mouth, what all these things, how we should spend our time, all these time, how we should dress, what we should dress in. All these things are, each one has its own hashkafas kishehula atzmai, but just take that whole subject and look at it in the glasses of, I'm the Sridim Asher Ba'am, I'm Hashem's special forces, I'm the elite of the world. The elite of the world, you know what that means? It means there's millions and millions and millions of people that are underneath me in the world, and I carry them. I carry them, my tefillahs, my learning, my fighting with my etzer, I carry them. So we have a responsibility to act a certain way. I'll tell you one political thing, just to cover Gedalia. I remember when Bill Clinton was inaugurated, first time. So I remember that he had his whole inauguration parade. It was a big parade and everything. I don't know what everyone's so happy about, but it was a very, very big parade. And I remember that he stopped off in bars or something. I don't know, he stopped off somewhere. And Bill Clinton plays the saxophone or something. I think it's saxophone. He plays the saxophone. So he stopped off in different places and he would, like, take the saxophone. And they would play the music and he would play the saxophone. With all the moves, you know, the saxophone player. I remember then, I was young then, I remember thinking, like, this guy is going to be the president of the United States. This is how he treats himself. He's going to be inaugurated. This is Malchus. This is Melucha. This is the closest that America has to Malchus. He's being inaugurated, the Melech, for the next 4 years. And he goes, he belittles himself. It's very nice to play a saxophone. It's very good. But he's the president. Imagine Rich Steinman would come, and he would see someone playing the drums or something. And he'd be like, yeah, when I was young, I also played drums. And he would go get on the drums. There's a time and place for everything. You know, what's going on over here? This guy's going to be... And it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that Taka, look, he really proved himself to us, President, you know, President Clinton. He really proved himself, you know, a man of pride and honor, morals, principles. He really proved himself to us. It's so telling that that's what he did in his inaugural parade. Made a total schmata of himself. We're exactly the opposite. We're the whole presidency and everything is a... It's complete FS, it's nothing, it's all a side point, it's a side dish, we talked about it a while ago. It's a side dish, it's nothing, it's a side point in the world. The ikar of what's going on in the world is here in the Beis Medrash. The ikar of what's happening in the world is our learning and our davening. That's where the hashpah of the world is coming from. We have to walk with a certain pride. We talk to people, we've seen Talmid Chachamim act that way, a certain confidence and pride and happiness. I'm from the elite. And it's a good club to have membership from, and it's good to take chizuk from having membership in that club. Okay, it's Tzadik Zion, I think. Ah, Hapishas Arahu Kederach Hagoyim Hasichlin. The bad precious, we said there's good precious and bad precious. The bad precious is like the foolish Goyim. And not only don't they take from the world what they don't need, they also hold themselves back from what they do need. And they pain themselves, they afflict themselves with afflictions and with strange things. That Hashem has no desire in them at all. It's also for a person to afflict himself. Someone who's supposed to take tzedakah and doesn't take, He's a shofech damim. He's a murderer. He's murdering himself. V'chein amru l'nefesh chaya, neshama shenosati b'cha, hachaya yoysa. V'amru kol ayoyshei b'taynes, the neshama that I gave you, neshama shenosati b'cha, hachaya yoysa. Keep it alive. Keep your neshama alive. Keep it in your guf. V'amru kol ayoyshei b'taynes, nikra chayte. Someone who sits b'taynes is called a chayte. V'hemidua b'delay matzi mitzar nafshi, in a case where he's not able to be mitzayer himself. Hillel Hayomer Goimel Nafsha Yish Chesed Al Achilas HaBoker. Hillel used to say that someone who does an Ish Chesed is Goimel Nafsha, he does for himself Al Achilas HaBoker, someone who eats breakfast, someone who eats in the morning. V'hayoreichetz Pana V'yadav L'chvoid Koinei Kal V'chayme B'diyuk Nois HaMelochim. He would wash his face and his hands in honor of his creator, a kal v'chomer from the statues of kings, that they used to wash and make sure that the statues of the kings look beautiful. So they used to say, as a kal v'chomer, a person who's a tzelem elokim has to also look nice. Why do the foolish Goyim afflict themselves? Zevi, why do they afflict themselves? And what's the truth? Is Gashmi's bad?
No.
Second paragraph. Inyan HaKedusha. Ha'ishtad l'su sh'yeh ha'odam nivdol v'netak min ha'chamriyas l'gamri. That a person should be completely separated from Gashmiyas. U'mizdabik tamid b'chol eisu v'chol shobe eloikiyas. Doesn't that sound like the Goyim? So why don't Goyim understand this? You think they're right?
For them, they might be right. Not regarding
it says they're foolish. It says they're foolish good.
Yeah, but saying that regarding that they're beating themselves up.
It sounds to me, I agree with everything you're saying. It sounds to me that his problem with a person being miyaser himself with udvarim zorim, he yasru gufam biyasurim udvarim zorim. It sounds to me that his problem with it, if you read it through, it sounds like his problem with it is, it's almost like a slap in the face of the Rabbi Shalom. The Rabbi Shalom gave, this is the goof that Rashi gave you. Don't rip it out. I just gave you something. Don't destroy it. That's what it sounds like. Neshama shenasati b'cha. Hachye yaisach. I put a neshama into you. Keep it alive. Or like, what's the tzushtel that until Zisharim in the end makes a tzushtel that Hillel used to wash his hands and face with the covet of Hashem? That's a difference though. What does that have to do with this? You wondering when we read the paragraph? This last paragraph. It says that it's not good to be miyasser yourself too much, and someone who takes tzedakah and doesn't take it is a reitzeach, and a yoshe b'tainis nikra chayte, and Hillel used to wash his hands and face with the covet of Hashem. That's a separate subject. What is that connected to the Yoshe B'tainis Nikra Chayte? It sounds like what he's trying to say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a guf and a neshama. It's not appropriate to destroy that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. The Gemara says in Chagiga, one of the simanim of a Shaita is Ma'abdin Ma'ashanaistim, where he destroys what's given to him. Someone who destroys his guf, someone who's miyasser his guf to the point of destruction, Shekvar Yimnu Umeyatsum Gamis HaMukhruch, the Rabbi Shalom gave him a keli, and instead of using the keli the Rabbi Shalom gave him, he's destroying the keli the Rabbi Shalom gave him. That's what it sounds like he's saying. I think that you're 100% right. I think that Zevi's right. There's a big difference between the precious of, even of the grace and Madregas of Tzadikim, who were very, very, very parish from Gashmias, and the precious of Goyim, the Goyim Sichlim, is this still has to be the utmost zehiras not to destroy that which the Rabbi Shalom gave me. Out of respect for the Rabbi Shalom. So in that respect, I think we're bringing out a very, very important point that this is, and if you know anything about Geisha philosophy, it's in the Geisha philosophy, Goyim believe that all men are born impure. Nashi, are you familiar with this? You familiar with this? All men, all human beings are born impure. They're born afflicted by sin. They have to be misakin themselves. That's what all Goyim believe. We believe that all people are born pure. And they makalkal themselves as time goes on. I remember a beautiful story. I remember one time I was sitting on Tisha B'Av. We used to, in Pachad Yitzchak, after Chatzos, a bunch of guys, we used to go into Rosh Hashiva's office, and he used to give us a shiur on Medrash Eicha. And he would just read the Midrashim. It was a very, like, relaxed, it was a Tisha B'Av afternoon. We didn't have that much kaychas. You're not supposed to learn B'iyu, and it wasn't a deep shiur. He would just read the Midrashim, but someone who knows the whole Tanakh, backwards and forwards, it makes it a lot easier to read Medrash, because Medrash is full of all kinds of psukim back and forth. So it was very pleasurable, relatively speaking, to Tisha B'Av. It was very nice to be able to sit and just have someone read through, the different Midrashim in Eicha. So we got to the story of Chana and her seven sons. In the Medrash Eicha, she's not called Chana. She has a Yehudis, I think her name is in the Medrash. But it says the whole story over there, and it says how the first son went and got himself killed by Kiddush Hashem, and the second son went and was killed by Kiddush Hashem. And the seventh son, if you're familiar with the story, you heard the tape, the seventh son has a whole back and forth with the king, with the melech. A whole back and forth, and the king throws a candy and tries to get him to bow down to pick up the candy, and the kid chaps, and he says no, and they're throwing psukim at each other. It's not a whole intense back and forth. This three-year-old kid. It says that he was 2 years, a certain amount of months, and a certain amount of days old. And Yitzhak's brother asked Rosh Hashiva, then I still remember, asked Rosh Hashiva, then what did we have to know exactly how many months old and how many days old the kid was? So the Rosh Hashiva answered, because he didn't want it to say, we said three, we really mean four or five, it's just a mashal. No, I'll tell you exactly what his birthday was. He was 3 years, he was less than 3 years old. I'll tell you exactly what his birthday was. So Yitzhak's brother wouldn't give up, and he said, so bottom line, how does a kid that age fight with a melech like that? 3-year-old kid, how does he have that kind of shtarka emun? How's it shaykh? It was one of the very, very, very few times I ever saw my Rosh Hashiva, I ever saw his eyes tear. It was Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, he became something like very, very emotional. And he said, every single yid, is born with the strongest emuna. And unfortunately, when we live in this world, it gets destroyed. As life goes on, we lose the purity of our emuna. But every Yiddish kid is born with strong emuna. If cultivated properly, can have that strong emuna. It's not a kasha. The kasha is on us, not on this kid. That's a different world than the way goyim look at things. Goyim look at things that a person is born a behemoth. A person is born mekokel, malei chet, and he has to purify himself. There's something wrong with him, and he has to purify himself. And we hold that people are born pure. And a person has to use the kelim Hashem gave him to serve Hashem properly. This is the nafkamin. This is mamish the difference. But the goyim feel like they have to destroy themselves. They have to punish themselves. They have to hurt themselves. That's the way they're going to become close to Hashem. Because if they don't erase themselves, if they don't do damage to themselves, then they're not cleansing themselves. We don't look at it that way. We look at it that the guf the Rabbi Shalom gave us and the neshama that the Rabbi Shalom gave us are perfect kalim to serve the Rabbi Shalom. And we have to learn how to use those kalim properly. It's a completely different hashkafa.
But confuse their philosophy. Is that the one mahalas that they... Once they believe, so they believe they're impure. Let's say yes, the person goes on.
They're making a mistake because of this nekuda. You mean the Lushan custom, are they wrong?
Yeah.
No, they're not wrong.
Right.
But they're wrong.
They're wrong.
But this is an old thing. It's in Parshas Lech Lecha. This is an old thing that goyim have a hard time understanding how gashmius could play a role in Avodas Hashem. Is one of the names of the Rabbi Shalom is Kael Elyon. One of the ways we refer to Hashem is Kael Elyon. In Chumash, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalom calls the Rabbi Shalom Kael Elyon. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalom Hoitzi Lechem V'yoyin V'hu Kayin L'Kael Elyon. He was a Kayin for Kael Elyon, which was shame. He was a Kayin for Kael Elyon. Kael Elyon means like the very, very high Rabbi Shalom. That's the Rabbi Shalom that's uplifted, high, much higher than the world, beyond the whole physical world. That's Kael Elyon. That's how a guy understands Hashem. A guy doesn't understand how Hashem is in this world, how Hashem is part of the physical world, and how it's possible with the physical guf and with the physical achila and shsiya and the life of a physical human being. A guy doesn't understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays a role. He looks at the Rabbi Shalom as a very, very high thing that doesn't connect to Gashmias.
How is it possible that Yaakov be sent loose by him for so long?
Well, he had things to learn by him. It doesn't mean at all there were things to learn by him. He wasn't wrong that the Rabbi Shalom is a Kael Elyon. He was just missing how that Kael Elyon is misfarished into this world. The Kael Elyon is right. Rabbi Shalom is much higher than the whole physical world. But he didn't understand how Rabbi Shalom also is in this world. But for us, it's a funny thing. I was looking this over. I was thinking to myself, like, I'm gonna talk about, yeah, the goyim are terrible. They're misagif themselves with yisurim. I don't think we have, you know, Baruch Hashem, we have a very, very healthy yeshiva. Maybe in other places we have to talk about this. We're a very, very healthy yeshiva. I don't think we have to talk about how terrible it is for people to be misagif themselves with yisurim and to destroy themselves and to be mazik themselves. That's not our nisayon right now. I think for us, the lesson that we have to see from this Mesilas Yesharim is the nekuda that he brings out about why it's bad, and that's having respect for ourselves. Having respect for our guf, realizing that our guf is a keli for Kedusha. And we have to get out of our system the wrong hashkafa that goyim have, that the guf is something dirty or something lowly or something to be mavaza. And we live in a culture that's very, very, very mavaza the guf. The ripped jeans culture, a culture that part of the culture is bizayon haguf. That's part of the culture that we live in, and
tattoos.
This inyan of Ayaroich is Panav Yadav Lekavet Kainai. You have to, first of all, you have to look in the Derech Hashem, where the Derech Hashem talks about the the Seder Hayom of a person. Later on in the Sefer, Derech Hashem, he talks about the Seder Hayom of a person. And he talks about how a person gets up in the morning and he washes Negel Vasser, how cleaning the Tumah off of a person's hands is, affects the whole world, that there's massive amounts of Tumah that get flushed out of the world because a Yid washed his hands. And how when a Yid goes to the bathroom and he gets waste out of his body, how that affects in the Shemayim also, that it gets rid of Kaychas Hara in the world. Something that by Goyim they look at as the lowliest thing, we have a bracha on, we have an Asher Yotzeh, we make a bracha on it. It's a different type, we have a different type of perspective about our physical body. Completely different perspective. Look at our Negel Vasser. Look how we have a whole Seder. You know, you're not supposed to just wash your hands three times, it's a whole Seder. You look in Shulchan Aruch, those who learned at the beginning of Mishnah Berurah, you're supposed to pick up the kais with your right hand and put it into the left hand, and then to fill the kais and then pour it onto the right hand, and then take it back from the left hand into the right hand. A whole Seder of how to wash your hands. What are you washing already over here? You're washing your hands. What are you washing over here? You think it's a way, it sounds like the changing of the guards in front of the palace. It sounds like something that there's a whole ceremony for. What are you doing? You're just washing your hands. No, you're not just washing your hands. You're washing very, very heiliger hands. You're washing hands that the Rebbe Shlom created and formed and gave to you in order to serve Him. They're very, very holy hands. There's a whole Seder how you wash your hands. The person wakes up in the morning, he washes his hands, there's a whole Seder. There's beautiful, beautiful halachas. It's brought in the, I think it's brought in the Shari Tshuva, in the Shari Tshuva and Shulchan Aruch, and it's brought in the Aruch HaShulchan. I'm not sure if the Mishnah Berurah himself brings it, but there's beautiful, beautiful minig that's brought, that as a, there's a, we'll go back, there's a discussion in Shir HaShirim, discussion in Shir HaShirim between this Isha and the Umas HaOlam, and the Isha is Klal Yisrael, and this Isha that's Klal Yisrael, what happens is she's going to sleep, and her beloved, which is the Rebbein Shalom, her Doid, comes to the door and bangs on the door, and she says she doesn't want to come to the door. She says, I already got into bed, I already washed my feet, I don't want to get my feet dirty, I don't want to go answer the door. Which is a mashal for Klal Yisrael saying, I'm already being Oved Avodah Zarah, I don't want to serve you, Hashem. And the Rebbein Shalom knocks and knocks and knocks, and Klal Yisrael doesn't want to come to the door. So the Rebbein Shalom goes away. Doidi shalach yodai min ha'achor. My beloved, he takes his hand away. He takes his hand away, he's not knocking on the door anymore. And at that point, Klal Yisrael is nesayer that they do want to be close to Hashem. So the woman quickly gets up, she quickly runs to the door, and she opens the door, and her beloved is gone. He's gone. So she looks, and he's gone. And we take her searching for him, and in not being there to protect her, the other people find her and they hit her, and she suffers tremendous yisurim, and that's Klal Yisrael in Galus. The yisurim that we suffer because we didn't answer the door in time. The Lashon told us the Teshuvah, and we didn't answer the door in time. And while they're suffering, Klal Yisrael turns to the Rebbein Shlom and says, Hishbati Eschem Benois Yerushalayim. I'm making you swear, Goyim. I want you to swear. I want you to swear. What do I want you to swear? I want you to swear that when Mashiach comes and the Rebbein Shlom calls you in front of him, that you'll be testify to him that I just wanted the Rebbein Shlom. So the Goyim ask this Isha, what is it about your Daid? What is it about your beloved that you want him so badly? What's wrong with us? What's wrong with the Umas HaOlam? Why are you so searching for the Rebbein Shlom? So at that point in Shir HaShirim, the Psukim go on to describe this beautiful description of how Klal Yisrael describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol. It says his face is like gold, and his hair is like beautiful curls, and his teeth are like the white of the of goats, and his hands are like pillars of silver, Yadav Galilei Chesef, you know, and so on and so forth. Beautiful, beautiful description of an unbelievably beautiful person. And each one of those things, Rashi explains what they refer to in terms of the Rebbein Shalom. They refer to the Matan Torah, they refer to a bunch of the Mekabel HaSlicha. All these things, description of Kaviyachol, of his eyes. tifsais of Shoshanim, his lips are like roses, and all these things are all descriptions of different midas of Hashem. So you can imagine these psukim of Shoshanim, the most heilig of psukim, that the psukim, the remez, remiza, Klal Yisrael describing the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beautiful, right? So then you open up a Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Aruch Chaim, and it says that when the Yid washes his hands in the morning, he should say the pasuk Yadav Galilei Kesef. And when he washes his lips, he should say Sifsaisav Shoshanim. And when he washes his head, he should say Roshay Kesef Paz. And so on. All these descriptions that are really descriptions of the Rabbani Shalala. It's an amazing, incredible thing. We wake up in the morning, and it says it's a school, Agav. It says it's a school that a person who does will be Moitzei Chein Be'enei Kol Royov. Whoever sees him, he'll find favor in everyone's eyes. He'll be a popular person that people are drawn to if he does this. It's an amazing thing. This is the Klal Yisrael's description of Hashem. It's Hashem's hands, Kaviyahu. It's Hashem's face, Kaviyahu. It's Hashem's eyes. And that's what it says, a segula, that a person should say when he washes his own face and his own hands. Pilei Plaim. But we see from there that the depth of the fact that we were created B'Tzelem Elokim. And when we do things with our face and with our lips and with our eyes, it's having somehow an effect in Shemayim. The Hesiris that we have Milamata, the Hesiris that we have to serve Hashem properly, to be a proper Keli of the Rabbani Shalom, has an effect in Shemayim. We have to treat our this is our body. We have to treat our body with respect. Our body is it's a Sefer Torah. Our body is a Sefer Torah. I've mentioned a few times, they have some people in Yeshiva have it, the people who took on a tremendous, tremendous zchus of being part of the Chevra Kaddish in Waterbury, they have a contrast of how they do a Torah, how they do a Torah, and how they treat the body of a Yid. And they mamish treat it, it's amazing the awe with which they treat the guf of a Yid. They keep always every single part of him covered that's not being washed. They don't pass things behind his head. They don't talk any, you could speak to Rabbi Wilk, Rabbi Kalish, you could talk to them about it, they're involved with it. They don't talk any dvarim v'teilim or sichas chulin in the same room as him. They be'anova and be'achna, they ask mechila in case they did anything improper to the mace. And you have to ask yourself, that's a person whose neshama already left him. That's the Kedusha of the Guf of a Yid whose Neshama already left him. Al achas kama v'kama, how much respect we have to have for our own Guf, not to be mavazit. Our own Guf, not to be mavazit, that we still have our Neshama in us. Imagine the Neshama, the Guf of a Yid that the Neshama left him is so mamish with reverence. We have to treat it with reverence, which direction, the way the head is, and so on, with such reverence. They put a pillow into the Arun and everything, mamish reverence. Our gufim have a neshama inside, a heilig neshama inside. That's just the guf that once had a neshama. Our gufim have a neshama inside. We have to treat ourselves a certain way. That means not to wear clothing that are in tatters. It means not to, you know, I mention this every year, Sfira. That means perhaps something to think of that are not making designs in our faces during Sfira or after Sfira, shaving this way, funny way, and that funny way. Our body is not a coloring book. It's a Sefer Torah. It's a kalaf of a Sefer Torah. The words of the Sefer Torah are the neshama, and the kalaf of the Sefer Torah, that's our guf. Our guf is the kalaf of a Sefer Torah, and our neshama is the words on it. We have to treat our guf with respect. We have to have respect for ourselves. To be clean and put together, not because we want to be clean and put together. To be clean and put together because it's a klisharis. We're a klisharis in the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, we walk around in the streets and we see goyim out there dressed in a way that's just, I'm not even talking about provocative, and that's a different sugya, that's not for now. In ways, it's just a bizayin for the guf of a human being. It's a bizayin for the guf of an adam. It's not just because of our own self-respect. If Eliyahu came down and gave you a special keli to serve Hashem with, would you ever get it dirty? Would you ever treat it without respect? You would stay always, you know, clean, and you would make sure it's always 100% polished and everything. That's exactly what happened. The Rabbani Shalom himself, Leida, it says, is one of the things that are not even given over to a malach. The Rabbani Shalom himself brought every single one of our bodies into this world. Mamash gave us a keli with which to serve him. And that's what the Mesillas Yesharim is saying. That's the reason why it's foolish for us to beat up our bodies. That's why we have to take care of ourselves. That's why we have to treat ourselves with respect, because we're vessels of Kedusha. And imagine how much different we'll feel about ourselves if we do that. Imagine if we make sure that we're clean and look mechubed, and we dress mechubed, and we treat our bodies mechubed. We don't grow hair that's too long, and we don't have funny haircuts, and we don't, all these things. And again, there's nothing to do with yeshivishkeit. There's nothing to do with, I'm just talking about treating a keli of the Rabbanu Shalom properly, to treat it with respect. I'm not just anything. I'm not just anything and anybody. I'm not a nothing. I'm a keli of the Rabbanu Shalom. I have to make sure it's healthy. I have to make sure I maintain it. I have to make sure it can last a long time. Hashem gives me a keli. I have to make sure it lasts a long time. I have to make sure I eat healthy foods. I have to take good care of myself. I'm a vessel. I'm a vessel of Kedusha. I have to make sure I'm properly tzniyastik no matter where I am. I have to make sure I'm properly tzniyastik, that I present myself a certain way. I'm a klisharis of the Rabbanu Shalom. There's no way in the world that if a person has that idea, and even you don't have to say the psukim, by the way, I should mention, you don't have to say the psukim. The segula zikr applies even if a person, when he's washing himself up in the morning, just thinks about these psukim. Just thinks about the fact that he's a tzelem elikim. I'm washing my face because I'm a tzelem elikim. I'm washing my hands because of, that you can think of in the bathroom. I'm washing my face because I'm a tzelem elikim. Imagine that, you know, when you take your shower, you know there's halachas, I don't know, maybe people aren't aware, you know there's halachas that you're supposed to wash your head first because it's the most chashuv. You don't just not wash any part of your body. You're supposed to wash your head first because it's the most chashuv. You're in the shower, you're not thinking that you're a kohen gadol that's doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. But you are, there's a seder of avodah. There's a seder, when a person's in the shower, he's not wearing clothing, he's just washing himself up. You think it's the most, you know, like David HaMelech, Urim and HaMitzvahs. No, it's a whole seder. A whole seder, how to take care of yourself. It's a keli from the Rabbanu Shalom.